This is Sunday morning worship for Palm Sunday, March 24th, 2024. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Almighty and everlasting God, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to take him upon himself our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross. Mercifully grant that we may follow the example of his great humility and patience and be made partakers of his resurrection. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading appointed for Palm Sunday is from Zechariah chapter 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading is from Philippians chapter 2, St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, from the second chapter, verse 5 through 11. Have this mind amongst yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Second, or rather the gospel reading, is from the 12th chapter of the Gospel of St. John. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. So today is Palm Sunday, called Palm Sunday because the crowds in Jerusalem wave palm branches when Jesus rides into town on the back of a donkey's colt. They wave palm branches and they shout, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. Why palm branches in particular, and why do all the gospel writers make sure to tell us that these are palm branches? What if they just grabbed whatever tree branches have to be laying around? What if they're waving oak leaves or apple tree branches or something like this? I don't know. For some reason, I can't think of any other trees at the moment. But The palm branch, though, and I think the reason it's mentioned, and the reason we call it Palm Sunday, is that the palm branch is a symbol of victory. At least it was in the ancient world. The Romans, and I suppose the Greeks before them, had a habit of awarding a palm branch to someone who had won a victory in perhaps a race or a boxing match. Certainly they gave them a laurel wreath to put on their head, but also they were given a palm branch to hold in their hands. The palm branch was the sign that they were the winner. You can find coins with various Caesars, the emperors of Rome, holding a palm branch to show that they were winners, that they had defeated their enemies in battle. In a way, I suppose the palm branch is the opposite of a olive leaf or an olive branch. The olive branch is a sign of peace, whereas the palm branch is a sign of having had been a battle, but a battle that is won. And so another name for Palm Sunday would be Victory Sunday. The crowds treat Jesus as a conquering hero, as a man who has come and already won the victory. Knowing what we know, then, it seems as though Palm Sunday is out of place, that this is a kind of false victory. The crowds think that he has won, that he's already defeated his enemies, and the enemies in question are the Romans and the corrupt priests and the other religious leaders. But knowing what we know, it looks like there's no victory here at all, that he has really just begun to lose, or to put a Christian spin on it, that he really hasn't even begun to fight, that his real work is coming later on Friday, and that Easter is the real day of victory. Is that not what Palm Sunday is, just a false Easter? Well, before we say that, we have to realize that actually it is a day of victory, but maybe not the kind of victory that we're looking for, or even the victory that the crowd was looking for. There is a victory here, but of a different kind. Why is it that the crowds are so enthusiastic when Jesus comes to town? John tells us why this is in his account of that first Palm Sunday. There are actually two crowds. There's the crowd of people who are already in Jerusalem for the Passover. And then there's another crowd, a smaller crowd, I suppose, that's coming along with Jesus as he makes his way into Jerusalem. And that other crowd, the crowd that comes with Jesus, they're the ones that tell the people in Jerusalem why this man is so important. Now, they can tell him about all the miracles he's done and the preaching he's done, and all that was probably part of it. But John underlines for us the main reason for the excitement, which is what they say in verse 17, that the crowds that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The people who had seen Lazarus come back from the dead and who had known that Jesus had done this, they're the ones who drum up all this excitement. And the reason for that is quite obvious. If this man can bring the dead back to life, then anything is possible. If he can bring the dead back to life, then he can easily defeat Herod and the Roman legions and the corrupt priests and anyone else with a word. If he can bring somebody back from the dead, he can make Israel what it was always supposed to be and never was. If he can bring the dead back to life, then he can fulfill every promise. He can make life easy. He can do everything we need, everything we could ask for. That's the sign of Lazarus, Lazarus's resurrection. And that's why the people shout Hosanna and why they wave palm branches. Because to them, if this is true that Lazarus did come back from the dead at the word of Jesus, then for them the victory is already won. And they're not wrong. This year in our readings, we didn't hear the story of Lazarus's resurrection, at least that I remember. At least it wasn't in the recent past few weeks. But I think you know the story. Lazarus was the brother of Martha and Mary. They sent word to Jesus when Lazarus was sick to come and heal him, but Jesus did not come in time, and he died, and he was buried, and buried for several days when Jesus comes. But then Jesus goes to his grave, he mourns for him, he weeps for him, but he also tells him, Lazarus, come out. And then Lazarus comes out of his tomb, wrapped still in the burial cloths, but living. The sign of Lazarus is that this man that is so dead, so obviously dead, not in a coma or anything like this, but that this man can be brought back to life. As we said before, this is the sign that anything is possible. So too, this is the sign for us. We're not so concerned about Lazarus, I suppose, but this story of Jesus himself, this man who was crucified and was dead for 3 days and yet somehow came back to life. If that was true, if that's a true story, then anything is possible. If Jesus comes back from the dead, then we can be happy too. Then we can have our prayers answered. Then whatever we want can happen. And why not? Anything is possible. So the crowds thought, so we probably think. Until reality sets in. Many of these people shouting Hosanna and waving palm branches, many of them will be in the same crowd shouting Crucify Him on Friday morning. Why do they do this? Well, that's an old story, and it's not so difficult to understand, I suppose, although it is somewhat shocking, I guess, but the change of heart happens when they figure out that what they wanted to have happen isn't going to happen. And then they're sick of Jesus, and they don't want him anymore. They thought he was going to get rid of the Romans. They thought he would topple the priests, but then they see him arrested and beaten, and these same Romans and priests are having their way with him, and it seems as though he is a loser, and then they shout, Crucify him. What looked like victory to them is not a victory, again, or so it may appear to them. So too, you hear this story of Jesus, you hear the story of how he died and rose again, you hear the Easter message of God's glory shown in the resurrection and the empty tomb, and you too may have started to think anything was possible, but then you are confronted with real life, and the prayers you have are not all answered. And just because Jesus rose from the dead, it doesn't seem to make your life any easier. And so the temptation there, again, is, I suppose, to do what the crowd did and reject this man who came back from the dead. You thought anything was possible, but then you're not getting what you want. And so what good is he? So we are tempted to think, and I fear that many people have given into that temptation as well. Not getting what they want, they now have rejected Christ. And yet still, Palm Sunday is the day of victory, but a different kind of victory. The sign of Lazarus, the sign of the resurrection, it is the sign that anything is possible. But what we need to do is broaden our idea about what is possible. Anything is possible means maybe even more than what we had hoped for. maybe even more than what we want. And that's really what's going on Palm Sunday. The crowd's idea of victory is, again, getting what you want, right? If you follow the right king, then he will do what you want him to do. So too, I think we are tempted to think this way as well, that Jesus, if we have Jesus on our side, we get whatever we want. Our prayers are answered, we'll have enough money, we will be healed of our diseases, we'll get along with the people in our family that perhaps we have trouble getting along with, or whatever it is. That maybe even, we don't really maybe admit this to ourselves or even say this out loud, but maybe even we don't really have to suffer or die. But anything is possible means not that all those things pass away necessarily. Doesn't mean that all the troubles of life are magically removed from us because we follow Jesus. But it means what it meant for Jesus. Today is a day of victory for Jesus. Palm Sunday was the day when the new king had come. It's just that his victory was of a different kind than what people expected. And it's of a different kind maybe than what we expected. What he comes to do is not to avoid death or to kill other people, but what he comes to do is to die. And in that is his victory. Suffering and pain and death are not avoided, but he comes and he takes these things on himself, and then life comes afterwards. And then comes joy. And then comes the resurrection. But you can't have the resurrection without the death. You can't have Easter without Good Friday. Palm Sunday is the day when these things finally begin. Palm Sunday is the victory because it means that Good Friday is on its way. And then Easter. Our idea of victory is, you know, an easy life, a life without pain and suffering, a life where we get everything we want and all our prayers are answered. But that's not the life that Jesus offers. What he offers is to give us more life after death. What he offers is to make our pain and suffering not merely pointless, but to have these things work to our advantage so that we can be witnesses to him in the world, so that we can learn sanctification, so that we learn to not be so selfish. Palm Sunday is the day when the king has come and has come to declare victory. Palm Sunday is a day of joy, but a day of joy because we know life comes now after death. The victory of Jesus is that life. Not avoiding death, but finding life in death. And now that is our victory too. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Lord God, your Son humbled himself to the point of death, even death on a cross. Fix our faith upon his death for our salvation. Enrich the proclamation of the gospel and enliven our hearts to live out this faith until Christ comes again in glory. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God Almighty, our Lord Jesus, did not count equality with you something to be grasped, but humbled himself. Grant us a mind like his to spurn all worldly equality, and humbling ourselves, to find your greater portion in the life of the world to come. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord of hosts, your Son came to deliver his people from all evil. Take away the fear of all who suffer in this world. As they await the fullness of their salvation, fix their eyes upon their crucified Savior. Hear our prayers today for Shirley Rothman, Jerry Yates, Mike Yates, Larry Nelson, Bob Deladonis, Courtney Cooker, Terry Sheldon, Elizabeth, Tim Bradford, Neil Montgomery, and Phyllis Vanover. And also for Marie, Joe, Cecil, Nick, Joey, Gordon, Jacob, Ron, Karen, Mike, Margaret, John, Cindy, Donna, Elizabeth, Jean, Vonnie, Bill, and Sandy. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We praise you, Father, that you have sent your Son not in wrath but in mercy. As we enter this most holy week and ponder together the mysteries of your great salvation, show us the answer to your people's prayers of Hosanna in the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.